KSL, KSL at night.
Good evening and welcome back to KSL at Night. You're here with me, Leah Murray, and we are chatting about all the things that are happening. One interesting thing that I noted in an article today in The Hill was that the Census Bureau is changing the way that we count people. So I just want to like say, for the record, we have been counting people in this country since our first census in 1790, and we are constitutionally required to do so. So that's a thing that's happened every 10 years, and it goes all the way back. And I am someone who likes to trace my family history, and I have been deep in archival research looking at census data, trying to find ancestors, right? And maybe some of you have done that as well. But how we do it, like how we actually categorize or what boxes you get to check, are left in large part to bureaucrats at the Census Bureau to decide how best to measure the demography of our country. So, and I do this as a hobby, right? But there are experts in our area who actually do this for a living. And so we've got one of those experts with us tonight, Mallory Bateman, the Director of Demographic Research at the Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute. Mallory, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So first, I wonder if I could do kind of the abstract theoretical question first, if that's okay, Mallory. And like, the OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, just announced that it would create a new task force to review how the collection of race and ethnicity data for future changes happen so that it would better reflect the changing demographics of the country. Can you talk to us about like why this matters, right? So what is it about how we label, whether we say Hispanic or Latino, whether we add a category for North African or Middle Eastern, like what does it mean? Why is that important to be very thoughtful about how we write these categories and to be reviewing them for change going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's important because it's one thing that we get to self-identify, right? And I know everyone doesn't mark Census Day on their calendar, but when I got the form, I was pretty excited that there was a box that meant like I identified with and it meant something to me. And I think as we continue to diversify racially and ethnically throughout the U.S., those boxes don't fit everybody. And so you have a lot of people who fall into, there is a some other race category, but then it's also difficult using that some other race category if you're trying to look into maybe issues, maybe communities aren't being served properly, or people can't access the things they need. And so it's a tricky, tricky situation. You know, you mentioned 1790 was the first census. And since the first census, this race and ethnicity concept has kind of shifted and morphed over time. And so as we continue to have more identities as Americans, I think it's important to reflect those in these kind of administrative records.
Yeah, no, I think that's so interesting. I talk to students about how when the Census Bureau adds the word Hispanic, right, like all of a sudden you find in America all sorts of people who were already here. They just didn't see themselves, like you said, reflected in that form as an identity for them to check. Do you have a sense, and this is the first change they've made since 1997, so it's been 27 years. Mallory, do you have a sense for like what we might see? And I'm thinking nationally, but also speak to Utah as well. When we add a Hispanic or Latinos, when we make that something specific, which is no longer ethnicity, I guess. And so talk to us about that. Like when they're, let's do that first. So when they're making those changes, what do the labels like, what do they mean now? What are the changes that are being made?
Yeah, so before this OMB announcement today, they were two separate questions. So you would answer if you were Hispanic or Latino in one question, and then you would answer if you identified in one of five or six different race groups. And so a Hispanic or Latino person could select yes or no, and then go to the next section of boxes and select something that suited them. But the Census Bureau found that that was really confusing for a lot of respondents. And you can kind of see that in some of the 2020 census data. You know, you get a lot of some other race and then people write in Mexican or they write in El Salvadorian. And so the intent of this was to hopefully make it less confusing for people responding to the questionnaires. And it went through, I will say this has gone through, you know, over a decade worth of development and research and had been planned for the 2020 census and then kind of got shelved at the last minute. So there was a lot of homework that went into making this decision to switch.
I like that right there, Mallory. So let me ask that follow-up question, then I'll loop back to what I was trying to get to before, not super well. Were you part of that homework? Like, Mallory, is it people like you who do the work that you do across the country that are informing? Does that make sense, these decisions, when they're doing that homework?
Yeah, so I personally was not. I came in late to that game, but they do have several working groups that are made up of different professionals all over the U.S. in different fields, in academia, in nonprofits, in the public sector and private sector, that come together, I think quarterly, to discuss all kinds of issues at the Census Bureau. And then they have research teams within the Census Bureau that are doing their own work. They have research teams at OMB. And so it was a big lift to try to make sure any of these changes would be useful and not a harm.
Yeah, right. Okay. We do no harm first, right?
Hopefully.
So when we're changing, so you talked about why, like you were saying, for the 2020 election, it was a little confusing for people as they were picking Hispanic or Latino, and then they had another separate set. Can you talk to us about what you think with this new way of doing it? What do you expect, you know, like what people will we find? Does that make sense? Like we add, and we were talking about Hispanic or Latino, but they also added Middle Eastern or North African as a possible category. You know, I'm just kind of wondering, what do you think the demographic landscape starts to look like? And I think I'm interested nationally and also inside of Utah.
Yeah, so I think nationally the expectation is that the white alone share of population, non-Hispanic white alone, is one group. And the expectation is that group is going to decline with this new Middle Eastern North African category, because that group had been included in white. White includes a lot of people, and all of the people that are supposed to check the box in the, you know, Census Bureau theory aren't necessarily identifying as white. So that's one change that we'll expect to see. We do have some insights with the 2020 census data, looking into people could write in their background. So that was kind of the compromise with this, not changing the question, but getting some additional insight. So we do have a little bit of understanding of the Middle Eastern North African population in Utah, and it's there, you know, it's a sizable population. I don't know that it's going to be a seismic shift to that kind of white overall. But then it's also, you know, we don't totally know, because people can check more than one box, and so maybe it doesn't completely change our accounting, for lack of a better term, of the population. Like if we wanted to see the people who did not mark Hispanic and identified as one race alone, I think we'll still have that ability to do that. But I think with this, we'll be able to get a little more depth of understanding of who's living in Utah and the U.S.
I'm so interested in what you just talked about, a little bit about white as a category. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think one, we are self-reporting, right? So I loved, it was 2020 and it was a pandemic, but man, I had census day on my, like I was waiting for that envelope too. So Mallory, I was with you, but I'm just kind of like, I get to pick, you know, and I wonder
exactly
to what extent there is a value add in America to choose different categories. Does that make sense? And then I wonder, generationally, do you see different things, right? So if I'm like three generations of Middle Eastern and we all picked white before, are we path dependent, or maybe do younger generations see some value in choosing that identity? Could you like flesh that out a little bit for me?
Yeah, I definitely think there are differences across generations. One thing that we saw this time around with 2020 census is the two or more race categories, so multiracial individuals, grew by leaps and bounds, both in Utah and the nation. And you saw that really largely in younger populations, especially under 18. So we do have, I think, different ways of thinking about race as a concept. And I think having more options that are potentially more inclusive will be helpful maybe for people. I do think, you know, some communities might be hesitant to answer with, you know, what they would identify as, because they're not sure when they're reporting to the government, you know, how it's going to go. But hopefully people know that these responses are anonymous and they're protected. And so hopefully people will feel comfortable to identify how they feel. But yeah, there is some variability across generations that we're already seeing in the data without this wording switch.
All right. Mallory Bateman, Director of Demographic Research at the Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
Next up on KSL at Night, let's get into politics. There was an early election that went the Democrats' way, kind of unexpectedly, and we're going to talk about what that means.